we continue in him so that the sort of the promise of that is fulfilled. And he will help us to do so. But anyways, these Jews in Jesus' day, the children of the devil, right? They were the children of the devil. That's why they had the synagogue of Satan. And they called themselves Jews. And they were not, but they were liars. Because Paul said a Jew is not one that is one outwardly, but one that is one inwardly. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel went after idols, God cast them off. You are not my people. And Jesus is doing the same thing. He's saying, you are not my people. You're not Jews. You're not. Oh, I know you're Abraham's seed.
But if you think that's what makes you a Jew, you're quite mistaken.
That's what he said in John chapter 8. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham.
Why was Cain a child of the devil? Why did Cain slay Abel? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Why were the Pharisees the children of the devil? Because they did not the works of Abraham. Deeds are what make you the children of the devil.
I know you are the descendants, the seed of Abraham, but you are not his children. He meant that in the spirit. You are physically his children, but you are spiritually not his children. And the problem with a lot of false doctrine in the identity movement is they get that reversed. They say you are not physically his children and you are not spiritually his children. You are just Kenites. You're from some other tribe. But Jesus doesn't say. He says, no, you are his seed, but you are not his children. So they are physically, carnally descended from Abraham. They are the seed of Abraham, but they are not his children in the spirit. You can't tie sin to one race. In Christ, that is really out. You can't say, you know, if the Jews are sinful because of their race, then I'd like to know what your excuse is. What's your excuse for being such a sinner? Well, at least they have an excuse. They're the children of the devil. How can you even blame them? You know, it's there to be pitied. But you are a child of the devil. You are to be pitied. And until you recognize that and repent, you're going to be in big trouble. You are going to be a synagogue of Satan. You know, Christians are Jews inwardly. We are inheritors of the promises of Abraham. We are his seed.
We are circumcised in our hearts. We enter into his rest by him entering into us. We have internalized many of their outward customs. Their outward customs became our inner life
because of the promise. That's what's taught in the New Testament. If you don't know that, you need to study my teachings on the other parts of the New Testament. So this can refer to then also, as in Christ's time, it was the Jews of his time. It can refer to Christians of this time.
False Christians are a synagogue of Satan. You know, in the New Testament, where the place where the Jews came together to read the scriptures was the synagogue. The term church came into use to denote we are called out from among the world, from among the Jews, from wherever. The word ecclesia, church, literally means called out, to be a special people to God. Where synagoge, synagogue, means a gathering together. It's a gathering place, a meeting place. In most churches, that's all they are. In fact, when I say church, people think of a gathering place, a meeting place, a building. Well, most Christians know that the church is not the building. On the other hand, for all practical purposes, sometimes that's all it is. It is just a building. That is the church. It's the building. It's the organization. It's the synagogue of Satan. And I think when a church gets its candlestick removed out of its place, that's what it becomes. A synagogue of Satan. That is the judgment of God. You want him to be judged as a church? Well, then he's going to look at you as a church. And when he sees that it's not a church, he's going to say, I have judged this church. This church is a synagogue of Satan.
And, of course, I said last time, you know, the identity movement. I mean, they literally claim to be Jews, and they're not. So, I mean, they fit right in. But the funny thing is, they in many ways are closer to the Jews of Jesus' day. Their doctrines are more Jewish than they are Christian. The Shepherd's Chapel, the church I used to be part of, they are more Jewish than they are Christian, as far as I'm concerned. Arnold Murray, the way he sneers at turn the other cheek, and the way he corrupts the teachings of the gospel by traditions, the way he looks to the Masorah and stuff, it's Jewish. They celebrate tabernacles. They celebrate the Feast of the Jews. I mean, in so many ways. And they consider themselves to be the literal seed of Israel. So, you know, there's a lot of synagogue of Satan out there. A lot of ways you could look at it. He will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved you. See, Philadelphia, the true church is never appreciated by the false church. They don't really like the message we have to preach. Smyrna or Philadelphia. Everyone likes Philadelphia. It's a little longer. It's got a little more, like, zip to it.
When I say like, I mean they fancy themselves to be Philadelphia. But I like Smyrna because I'm poor. You know, Philadelphia doesn't say much about being poor. And it doesn't matter because I can see... I want to see all of this in me. I want to see the Church of Smyrna the way they are, to be like the way I am, and also Philadelphia to be like that. To keep the word of the patience of God. God is patient. Look at how long he's waited. I think about me in my life. He waited on me. He was patient. I kept doing things I shouldn't do, and he was patient with me, good to me. One of my favorite verses has come to be Romans, I believe it's chapter 2, where he talks about, you know, judging other people. You're without excuse when you judge other people because you're condemning yourself because you do the same things. And, you know, you think you're going to escape the judgment. Then in verse 4 he says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So that the God is patient, and then rather people, when they obtain, or like I was talking before with the drug addicts, you know, they don't have a problem with it. And they look at some person who's been involved in drugs for 10, 20 years, and they say, hey, what's wrong with that guy? It's like, what a fool. Why can't he straighten out his life? Well, God is being patient with him, perhaps. Perhaps he's giving him some time to repent. Do you despise God for being patient with one such as this? That's what I'm saying. God is patient. Don't despise his patience with others. Because when he's patient with you, you'll be thankful. You'll be thankful when he's patient with you. Oh, thank you, God, for putting up with me. But then when you see your brother, ah, how can God put up with these things? This man, weak, despicable. You know, it's hypocrisy. They value the you know, they're so understanding about their own faults, but when it comes to the faults of others, well, my faults are different. You know, mine are obviously very extremely difficult things to overcome, whereas their problems are much more easily overcome, and any fool could overcome that. That is a foolish, foolish attitude. Verse 10.